Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's read the first two verses this morning of Romans chapter number 12. Thank you for turning with me there. Now, in light of what the Lord is doing in our church at the present time, we are going to look at some verses to encourage us to have faith in the will of God. Faith in the will of God. Now, let me encourage you to come back tonight because it's a two-part message. So, let me give you some information regarding that later on, but let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the perfect will of God. We thank you, Lord, that your will is revealed in your precious word. And help us, dear Lord, to be transformed in our thoughts and in our feelings, and in our mind, Lord, this morning, as we seek you, Lord, as we seek to do your will in this place and this time. Father, we pray that you would be glorified through your truth. Lord, may we take hold of the word of God so that we may live by faith as your people in this day. Lord, we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he receive the glory and the honor and the power, Lord, that is so deserving to his name as a result of this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, someone once described true success as this. What is true success? Many would say that true success is financial wealth in the world. Many would say true success is physical health and well-being. Many would say true success is happiness all the time. But biblically, as we look at the Word of God, someone once explained true success as knowing the will of God and doing it. If you and I know the will of God, and if we, like the heroes of faith of old, seek to do His will, we can know that we are living a successful Christian life. And friend, the moment that you and I are saved, there's nothing more important in our lives as Christians than to follow the will of God. In fact, God tells us at the end of verse number 2, He wants us to know what His will is. Would you agree? The Bible says, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says, I know what my will is. I want you to come and find out. I want you to come to me and I want you to follow me and I want to show you what my will is. Now, I dare say if you're here this morning, you at least have somewhat of a desire, a want to do the will of God. Maybe you're facing a decision this morning that you need God's direction in. Maybe you're facing a trial that you would like God to help you through and you're wondering where that would lead to. We all need God's direction in our life, don't we? We all need to know what His will is. And yet we need to be sure as Christians that we are following His will and not our will. You see, the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 that our life is just like a vapor. Our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So when it comes to the will of God, there is an urgency. We don't have all of our lives to try and work out what it is. And God isn't hiding His will from us. He wants us to know now. He wants us to follow it today. And the Bible says we need to know and prove what is that perfect will of God. We need to know the answer to the question, what does God want me to do? We need to know the answer to the question, how does God want me to live? And friends, the Bible tells us that at salvation, Christ is the author of our faith. But not only is he the author from our memory verses this month, but he is also what? The finisher of our faith. Friends, the Bible tells us that the finish line may happen today. You and I, if we're running by faith, if we are saved as Christians, and as we run the race of faith, we know that Christ may come at any moment. In fact, not only are we running to the finish line, but the finish line, the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, is coming to us. Any moment we may be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, what an important subject this morning to get a handle on. The will of God. Are we in the will of God? Will we be ashamed to stand before the Lord because we have simply run off in our own direction rather than running the path that he has set for us? Well, this morning we are going to look at part one of this message, faith in the will of God. Friend, I trust you want your life to count for God. Would you say yes this morning? Amen. I want my life to count for God. Well, then let's enjoy learning about God's will this morning. Notice, first of all, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us very simply and clearly how we may prove God's will. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." So, there's an answer there, teenagers. Can the world give you the answer to what God wants you to do? Yes or no? The Bible says not conform to this world. Don't go to the world for the answer in life. What does the Bible say? "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that is a reference to the Word of God. The Bible is God's mind, His heart, His thoughts, His Word, not just for the day it was written, but the Bible says that His Word endureth to all generations. And now it has come to us so that you and I may know the will of God. Now that is exciting. You can prove what is God's will. How? By what He has already revealed in His Word. And that's where we're going to park this morning. The Word renewed. Notice verse number 2. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how many of you are here this morning that ever undertook a renovation of your home or of a vehicle or something in your possession? And it was renovation time. It was time to work on that particular place or that house. And if you've had any experience in that, you would know what takes place. Now, what do you do when you renovate a house, for example? You get rid of the old junk. Now you're doing some renovation work, some things need to go, is that right? The old junk needs to go. As a Christian, the old ways need to go. The old habits and the old thoughts, the old ways of thinking that you and I used to think before we were saved has to go. Now those things that were not sinful and in fact were good that God allowed into our lives, well, those things need to be strengthened. Just like when you renovate a home, you don't throw everything out or else you've got no home to renovate. You don't throw everything out. No, you strengthen the things that remain. The things that are good, you build up, you strengthen. Establish in greater ways in your life. And then also, when you renovate a home, some new things need to come in, don't they? You throw out the old junk, the old sofa maybe, that's broken, and the springs are coming out of the lining. You get rid of the old junk and you replace it with a new chair. Now, as a Christian, that is how you and I find out the will of God. We throw out the old and we bring in the new. The new is revealed in the Word of God. You see, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are become new and are becoming new. And as Christians, in order for you and I to know the will of God, as Pastor Dan said, it's not rocket science, amen? It's not rocket science at all. God's will is revealed where? In His Word. Friend, you might be here this morning and you might be struggling to know the will of God because you are not following what He has already shown us in His Word. That's why we need to park right this morning on the will of God in His revealed will. The revealed will of God. Well, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, let's find out what the most important truth is regarding God's will for all mankind. Please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Why don't we read this verse aloud together? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Why don't we read together on two? One, two. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice at the end of this verse, there is God's will. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord Jesus during His earthly ministry said this, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, it is God's will for all mankind that each and every one of us comes to a point in our life where we realize we are in need of repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And thank God, a holy God, that we deserve the full wrath and judgment from for our sins, chose to take judgment upon Himself. On that old rugged cross, Jesus Christ shed His holy, sinless blood to purchase your salvation, full and free, once and for all. And the Bible tells us if we believe we are sinners, if we agree with the Word of God that we deserve to be punished forever in the lake of fire, but believing in Jesus Christ that He paid for our sins, if we put our faith in Him once and for all for salvation, we can enjoy what the Bible says, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me ask you this morning, for those here present, do you know the will of God for your life? Well, friend, there's nothing more important, and this is the number one priority, to make sure you've repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ alone for salvation. Let me ask you this morning, when was that time? You see, salvation is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life. That means you don't continually ask for it every single day. Friends, that is religion. That is not the truth. The Bible says you must be born again. Once in our life we were born physically. I know that to be true because you're sitting here this morning. You've got a birthday. As we spoke of this morning, I've got a birthday. We all know when that is. The Lord Jesus said that's not enough to get you to heaven. And not everyone's going there. You need to be born again. There needs to be a time in your life, just like the date of your birth, that you made a choice. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You made a choice to turn, to repent from your sins in your heart, and to turn to Jesus Christ. And put your faith in Him and ask Him to be your Saviour for the forgiveness of sins once and for all. Friend, when was that time? When was that spiritual birthday? When was the time that you realized your need of a Saviour? May I encourage you, if you have not yet received Christ as your Saviour, friends, today can be the day of your salvation. Jesus said in His Word, I am come to give life. And life more abundantly. The Bible says, and what a wonderful revelation of the heart of God, that God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. Friends, if anyone dies in their sin, it's because they walk past the cross of Jesus Christ throughout their whole lives and say no to salvation. No, I don't want this message. I don't want this kind of Jesus. I'm happy in my religion. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. And then the Lord cries out from heaven this morning, I'm not willing that you should perish. Don't follow your will and your way. This is my way, God says. I have provided salvation for you. Young people, are you sure about your salvation? You might be wondering, I wonder what God wants me to do with my life. Well, don't go past the fact that, first of all, He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know. He wants you to realize that, yes, we are sinners, and God must judge sin, but He has paid the punishment for us. Friends, that is the greatest news on this side of eternity. Have you made a decision? If you haven't yet, let me encourage you to stay behind this morning. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can receive Christ as Saviour, how you can embrace the Saviour who loved you and died for your sins and is risen today to receive you to Himself. Thank God for the gift of eternal life. Amen. Friends, that's the number one goal of God in our lives. That's the number one purpose for our lives. Now, the Bible tells us once we are saved, our eternity is settled in heaven. Amen. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now what? What is God's will for our life as a Christian? I'm glad you asked. Please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Acts chapter number 2, thank you for turning there. Now we will move quickly through a few passages. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. Some familiar verses to many of us this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. How can we know the will of God? Well, we need to be transformed in our thinking. We need to bring our thoughts and our life in line with His thoughts and His will. Verse 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received His word, these were those who responded to the gospel message. They heard the gospel, they realized they needed to repent, they believed the word of God, and they received Christ as Savior. They gladly received His word. Notice what came next. They were, say it again,
baptized.
Baptism, then, is the will of God for you as a Christian. Would you agree?
Yep.
Baptism is God's will. The Bible tells us that they that gladly received His word were baptized. And baptism is simply a public witness of what God has already done within. See, when Jesus Christ saves you, it's a miraculous work He does on the inside. But when we are baptized, God wants us to show our faith on the outside. Baptism cannot get us to heaven. Water doesn't wash away our sins. In fact, the Bible says we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only precious blood that can wash away your sins and mine. But what about baptism? Well, baptism is a very precious step for the Christian. In fact, it's the first step of obedience. Friend, if you want to be in the will of God, you can't get past the first step. Sometimes we try to take the next steps, but God says, no, take the first step. Baptism is biblical. It is the first step of obedience. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. God has already written it down. That is His will for each of us as Christians. Let me encourage you this morning. If you need to be baptized, let me encourage you to get in line with the will of God. Would you agree this morning that His will is the path of blessing? When we're on the right path, then we can really run. The Bible says, let us run the race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you want to run as a Christian, if you want to move forward in your Christian life by faith, well, we can't get past the first steps. The first steps of His will, biblical baptism. Notice next in verse number 41, while we're still there in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the Bible says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So here we have the early church in its formation. The gospel was preached. Souls were saved. Those new Christians were baptized, and then upon their profession of faith in Christ as Savior and biblical baptism by immersion, they were added to the local New Testament church right there in the city of Jerusalem. Now, what an exciting church it would have been to be a part of. You know why? Almost everyone was a new Christian. Amen? Almost everyone was learning about the truth and growing, but they were added to the church. You see, that is God's will for our life. It is God's will for us to be added to the membership of the local New Testament Bible-believing church that He plans for us. Church membership is biblical. Church membership is written down in the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, notice verse 47. The Bible says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here at Coastline Baptist Church, let me make it very clear, we do not believe in the universal church. We do not believe that there is a church body which we are all a part of, and that God simply says, if you're a part of the church, and that includes every single Christian alive on this planet, and you can simply go to anywhere that you like. Friends, that is not God's plan. Now, when God uses the word church, He means local. Yes, there is a body of believers, but when it comes to the church is local. If you believe in a universal church, let me ask you the question, where do you attend? How do you serve in that universal church? How do you give to that universal church? How do you use your gifts and abilities within that universal body? It's impossible. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. The local church is likened to a physical body. A physical body with many members. And you understand what when the Bible uses the word members, He's not talking about the word membership, but God is talking about members of a body, parts of a body that God sets in place according to His perfect will. See, God's will is so foundational for our lives. If we miss it, we are way off track. We are in trouble. We are wandering around aimlessly, and we need to be careful to make sure that we stick to the path that He has set for us. That's His plan for us as Christians. Friends, the church is the Lord Jesus' plan. Would you agree? It's His plan. It's not my plan. It's not my business. It's not our local community group. And we're trying to do something helpful in Cairns. No, the church is the Lord's. He is the head. He is the designer of the church, the creator of His church. So therefore, we need to be serious about that which the Lord loves. I thank God for Coastline Baptist Church. I trust this church is precious to you. It ought to be. Friends, we shouldn't take it for granted. But we have the privilege of attending a church which we believe, we wholeheartedly hold to the apostles' doctrine, to the faith once given to the saints. And I know every church would say that, but thank God this isn't a church that speaks in tongues, amen, and believes in that apostate nonsense, losing your salvation. Imagine if I preached the gospel this morning and say, make sure you're saved, make sure you repented of your sins, but tomorrow you might sin and you might lose it all. So make sure you come back to church next week so you can stay faithful and keep your salvation by your good works. Imagine if that was the message we preached. And how often would you and I be sure about where we're going when we die? Well, this is till the next time we sin. And then we'll be panicking and worrying. And how can you ever be sure? Well, thank God, God's will is that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and salvation full and free. Thank God for this local church. And if this church is precious to you, friend, you ought to be a member. You ought to be part of the membership. Let me say this morning that we have 16 members presently active in the church. That means tonight only 16 folks can vote for the important decision we need to make. Now, some of you are here this morning and you might say, Pastor, I wish I could be a part of that decision. I wish I could be a part of that work that God is doing and be involved and even give my help or advice and be a part of that decision and what the church makes. Friends, you could be. The question is, are you a member? Have you committed to being a part of this local church body? See, that is God's will. You can't get around that. You can't escape it. What He has revealed in His Word is His perfect will for our lives. Let me encourage you this year to follow the will of God. Saved, baptized, added to the church. The Bible says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why is it a joy to follow God's will? Well, it's a joy because when we follow His will, we know that God is pleased. We know that God is rejoicing. We know that it's acceptable before God. And we are fulfilled and we can rejoice that we know we are on the right path. There's nothing greater and more blessed than to know, hey, I know there's a lot of things happening in my life, but thank God I'm in the right place. Thank God I'm doing what God wants me to do. And if the finisher of our faith came right now, I won't be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, that's the peace that God wants you to have. That's the joy He wants you to experience in the Christian life. But look, what is God's will? Well, it's revealed right here. God says, simply, follow me. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, let's move along quickly. Acts chapter number 2. Notice verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine describes the teachings of God. These ones gathered together in the church as members in order to do what? To be built up in the faith. To be built up in the doctrines of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says that the church is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Friends, this is the plan of God. The local New Testament church is the place that God has designed His people to grow in. It's a church family. It is a church that works together. It's a church where we all grow together. We are to be baptized together. We are to be members together. We are to grow together. They grew, these new believers, in the doctrines of the Lord, in the Word of God, the Apostles' doctrine, the Bible. Friends, how do we grow as Christians? What is God's will for our lives? Well, what does He say? Be a part of the church. Don't just attend the church. Be the church. Amen? The church is not a building. The church is not this school hall. The church is an organism, a group of people assembled to worship and serve the living God. Friend, God's plan for us is to grow together. And where do we do that? In church. Let me encourage you this morning that your TV is not God's plan for Christian growth. Amen? Joyce Meyer is not the pillar and ground of the truth. Neither is Benny Hinn, neither is Joel Osteen, neither is Joseph Prince, neither is Hillsong, neither is most of these so-called television evangelists. They are not the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the local church. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me encourage you, the gates of hell have prevailed against these so-called tele-evangelists. They have. The gates of hell have gripped these ones with their false doctrine, and they are perverted. But why should you and I be sucked into it when we know what God has said in His Word? What He's revealed? It's the church. Be in the church. And if the church holds true to the Word of God, you'll be fine. You'll be safe. You won't be led off the path that God has set for you. You won't be worried that you're being led into false doctrine. You won't be led astray. You'll stay on the path. You see how important it is to grow together. You see, if you're only in church once a week, friends, that's not enough. That's not enough. For you to grow as a Christian, that's not enough. There are so many dangers out there, temptations, there are so many choices to make. We need to grow in church. Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, at the minimum. Now, there are more things happening during the week at times, but friends, if you and I are not in church, we are not growing. And how can we possibly know God's will for our lives? How can we? And by the way, and I speak from experience, so I'm a part of everything that I'm preaching this morning. It's for me too. I know when I'm praying for direction in a certain area of my life, God has often said, I'm not going to give you the answer. Once you get in line with what I've already shown you in my word, then I'll reveal to you what I want you to do in that specific area. How many of you would agree with me this morning? That when God has already revealed His will, He's not going to show us the next step. It's just like God saying to Noah, Noah, I want you to build the ark to the saving of your house. And Noah standing around going, I wonder where He wants us to build our next home. I wonder where God wants us to move, because this city's a little bit wicked. And in fact, everyone's wicked. Maybe He's got a new country for us to go to. Maybe we need to pack our bags. And there's this thing about the ark in the back of my mind. You know, I know I should build, but you know, maybe I don't. Well, that's how the average Christian lives. I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to be a member, but I need to know what God wants me to do for my life. But He's already shown me in His word. And if we're not following the revealed will of God, we cannot know the specific will of God. That is the truth of His word. We need to follow what He's already revealed. Friends, are you a part of this local church? Are you growing? Are you just an attendee? Or have you taken hold of the word of God and say, I'm going to live by faith this year. I'm going to be part of God's plan and God's purpose in this place, and I'm going to step out by faith and obey the will of God. I trust you're here to do that. Let me encourage you to do that. Young people, set the first things in place. The rest will follow. Amen? Don't try and do the 10th step when God says, no, take the first step. Now I want you to take the second step. And I want you to take the third step. Let me lead you. That's how we walk by faith. All right, what about serving together? In the church, the Bible says that they praised God and had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved in verse 47. They were together in the church. And we know what happened when the Lord wanted God's people to be a witness. Because they weren't witnessing as they should, He sent persecution into the church, and the church was scattered throughout all the land. Is that right? Well, God's plan, just in a little thought there, God's plan is for us to serve together. Not just to assemble together, but to serve together. How? In the local church. In the local church. Together in the place where God has set us. We have been saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's plan for you as a Christian. That is God's plan for me as a Christian. Lord, do you want me to invest in this business opportunity? Lord, do you want me to buy a house in this place? Lord, do you want me to go to university over here? Well, the question really is, are you serving God? Have you obeyed the revealed word of God? How are you serving God now? Don't expect God to entertain your desires to know His direction if you're not listening to Him and what He's already said. Friend, are you serving the Lord? Remember the Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippi that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind. What for? To strive together for the faith of the gospel. Friends, that is why we are here. And so often as a church, we get distracted by everything around us and we lose focus that God has set us in place in this local New Testament church for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is through His church that we reach out into the community. It is through His church that we invite people to come in. It is through His church that we witness for Jesus Christ. It is through His church that we are encouraged and we learn how to be a witness. Amen. Friends, everything is tied back to the local church. And I don't say that because I'm a pastor, because guess what? That means more work for me. If I wanted to get out of work, I would have said, bless God, come Sunday morning, and that's the only service we're going to have each week. And some churches do that. And you wonder what the pastor's doing, by the way. That's why he's got a full-time job. And he enjoys... Oh, I better not go off on a tangent. God's plan is the local church. God's plan is the work of God, the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we serving the Lord in the local church? The Bible says the moment you and I are saved, we receive the Spirit of God, the indwelling presence of God within, and the moment that you are saved, you receive at least one spiritual gift from God. It is His gift to you. A spiritual, supernatural ability. A gift that He has designed for you, for God's perfect will, specific will for you, to be used where?
Church.
In the local New Testament church. Friends, if you're a Christian, God has gifted you with something. At least one gift of service. Something that He wants you to use right here in the local church. Now, if you're not baptized, if you're not a member, and if you're not serving, how can you say you're in the will of God? How can I say that I'm in the will of God? That's what compels me as a Christian to stay in His will. I need to be sure to stay in His will. Because if I get off track and He comes, it'll be too late. I'll be ashamed. Friends, this is His revealed will. And the encouraging thing is, He hasn't hidden it from it. He has not hidden His will from us. If we simply open the Word of God, we can see what He says. If we come to church even sporadically, we can know what He wants for our lives. The question is, will we do it? Will we live according to His revealed will? Christians, you want to be a Christian that lives for God. I trust you do. These are just some simples. These are just some simple truths, some foundational facts of God's Word. Friend, if God wants you to be here as a member, then there is an ability that you have given of God that is missing in this church, if you are not a member. I say that with a burden on my heart as a pastor. There's so much to do, but a church is limited if it's memberless. Imagine a church being the picture of a body, but no arm, no arms. Might have legs, but doesn't have arms. That means that body will be limited in what it's able to do. That's the raw hard fact. If the members are not set in place that ought to be, and if they are not serving, then a church flounders. And I dare say many of you might be sitting back going, well, what's happening in this church? I don't see much happening. I don't see maybe sometimes much going on. Well, friends, maybe God is asking the question to us, what's going on with you? Aren't you serving? You want something to happen? Then obey my revealed will. Amen? God is not going to bless a dead church. A lukewarm church that makes Him sick. I don't believe that's Coastline Baptist Church, but let's go in the opposite direction and please the Lord. The Bible says in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, there was the church in Laodicea that made God sick. They were a worldly church. But then there was the small church, the church of brotherly love, Philadelphia. They were small in number. They were small in resources. But God said, I have set before thee an open door, which no man can shut. An open door for what? What is the church for? To serve God and to preach the gospel. For this little church, God set before an open door. Why? Because they were active. They were faithful. They were serving. They were obeying the revealed word of God. Friends, that's what we need to strive to be. If you want to be in the will of God this year, let me encourage you to serve in this place. And if you're not sure what gifts God has given you, that's okay. Just follow His revealed will. As you serve, those gifts will come out. God will show you if you have the gift of mercy, the gift of giving, the gift of administration. God will show you, men, if you've got the gift of preaching, and men and ladies, if you've got the gift of teaching. God will show you that. I'm thankful for those who are serving in our local church. I'm thankful for those who are teaching and serving. But let me say this, if you're half confused and wondering why you're not serving, friend, there is plenty of room for more. Plenty of room. It actually isn't up to me. It's up to you. You might say, Pastor, you haven't asked me to do anything. Well, for all I know, you don't want to do anything. Friend, do you want to serve God? Well, then make it known by following the revealed will of God and enjoy the blessings of serving the living God. Friends, God has a plan for you. You might be stuck on this prayer request, Lord, do I marry this person or not? And God says, don't worry, I've got a plan for you in that area. And look, you don't really need to know right now, young person, because there's a whole list of things that I've already written down in my word that you're not obeying, that you don't want to follow. So then why would I be interested in showing you this when you're not interested in the first steps? The first steps in the Christian life. Reaching the lost together. Being a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. How do we reach the world, friends? We reach the world by reaching our community. We reach the world by giving and praying to missionaries that have been sent by the Lord to the regions beyond. Is that right? That's why we have a missions program here at Coastline Baptist Church. That's why we support up to 9 missionaries at this point. And Lord willing, more into the future. Why? Because we desire to do the will of God. We give sacrificially. We pray fervently for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. That's why we're here. But maybe you're here this morning and God wants you to get back on track. And we're here to help you to do that. Get back on track. Get back into His will. And enjoy it together. The Bible says, and if you're still there in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 42 that they fellowshipped. Do you notice the word fellowship in verse 42? Yep. Fellowship. What does that mean? Friends, that means God's people gathering together and enjoying each other's company. As saved, Bible-believing Christians. Where were they fellowshipping? Not a trick question. I'm not trying to control your lives. Have a look at the Bible. They were fellowshipping in the church. Not in any church, in the local New Testament church that God had placed them. A place of safety, but also a place of encouragement. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, and if we read it carefully, that in chapter 10 and verse 25, notice with me, chapter 10, verse 25, God tells us today, our church, in this age, we are in desperate need of fellowship as believers. Desperate need. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Thank you for turning there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The writer is very plain in this verse. He says there are two groups of Christians in this world. There is one group that says, you don't need to be in church. Go when you feel like. Don't even need to become a member. And in fact, you know, the Wednesday night service, hey, that's not in the Bible. And who says there's a Sunday evening? Why don't you just turn up when you want to? There's one group over here that forsakes the assembling together. Whenever the church assembles, there are some that say, hey, you don't need to be there. That's legalism. There are some that say that. Then God says, don't do that. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is, but rather what? What does the Word of God say? What is His will? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God says the more often you're in church, the better. Why? Because we are living in the last days. The day of Christ is approaching. It is coming fast. The world is coming to an end. Everything is winding down. Coming to a climactic end. where Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth as king for 1,000 years. But Christian, that has not happened yet. We are coming to the end. And what does God say? His will is for your life and mine. He says you need to be in church. Wow. Now, if that's what God says, would you agree with me this morning that that is His will? That is His plan? Friends, I'm not seeking to build a mega church. That's not the pastor's dream. The pastor's heart is that God's people would be exhorted, that you would exhort me, and that I could exhort you. What does that mean? It means to build each other up. The building that God is building is not what we see around us. It's you. You're the building. God's building us. And we need fellowship to do that, don't we? Perhaps you've been discouraged. And part of that discouragement might be because you haven't been in church. If you come to church, oftentimes there's instant encouragement. Amen? Instant exhortation. Instant help from the Word of God. And we thank God for the church. But friends, we need to fellowship with each other. Amen? We need it. God says we need it. Now, some of us are loners. Is that right? You can say amen. Some of us are not so, I guess, gifted with the gift of the gab. And, you know, we can't start conversations easily and don't really know what to say. Sometimes we say something we shouldn't. We get a bit embarrassed. But, friends, that includes you and I. Exhorting one another. Make sure you're here. And then regarding Christian friendships, the Bible says in order to have friends, be a friend. Amen? In order to have friends, be a friend. That's a little nugget of wisdom right there. Be a friend. If you want friends, then be a friend. Amen? Say hello to people. Involve yourself in their lives. Find out about them. Grow as Christians. Thank God for the church family that we have. And that is God's plan, fellowship. And in breaking of bread, and in prayers, the Bible says, they prayed together. They prayed together. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I want to come to the prayer meeting, but I'm not sure if I should come. You know, I want to come, but I'm praying about it. Well, you don't need to pray about it. You just need to come. Amen? Why? Because the church prayed together. When is the time that you and I as a church pray together? It's Wednesday night, midweek prayer meeting. Friends, we pray for our missionaries, but we also pray for you. And you pray for me. We exhort one another. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of prayer. It's a time in the middle of the week that we need it the most to be encouraged in the Word of God. It's a precious time. So, friend, you don't need to wonder what God's will is for you. Just simply, we need to choose to do it. Now, does that make sense this morning? The will of God that's already revealed. Praying together. They prayed as a church. Now, I know we pray at home. Don't get me wrong. I know we read the Bible and God speaks to you at home. Absolutely. God's priorities never conflict. Okay? Keep that in your mind. God's priorities never conflict. If you're saying this morning, I've got so many priorities, I don't know how I can do the will of God. Well, God's priorities never clash. They never conflict. If something is stopping you from coming to church, then it's in the wrong order. If something's stopping you from reading your Bible, then it needs to go. If there's something stopping you from praying, coming to the midweek prayer meeting, then maybe it's an attitude that needs to be repented of. You just need to turn up. Amen? Come together to pray the revealed will of God. Back in Romans chapter 12, as we conclude with this verse that we began with. Thank you for your patience this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. And here's the warning for us as God's people. And be not conformed to this world. Why is it that perhaps much of what was said this morning is irritating to us or uncomfortable to hear? Why is it? It's not because God is wrong. Well, that's just my opinion. That's not the reality. The reality is, if we are not being transformed by God's Word and coming into line with what He wants, there's only one other option. There's no middle area. There's no grey area. Either we are being transformed by the Word of God, or we are being conformed by the world. Verse number 2, look with me there. And be not conformed to this world. Either we're being transformed or we are being conformed. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you've ever made jelly before, and I know we've made some for our kids, they love jelly. If my wife was here this morning, she probably would have made those little jelly cups. So I'm sorry, kids. She can do that next month. And, you know, we made jelly before. I'm sure you've made jelly. You mix up the mixture, you add the water, and then you pour it into a mold. That's right. Pour it into a mold. And when the jelly sets, you tip it upside down, and if it's a fancy mold, what does the jelly do? It takes the shape of that mold. And in effect, that jelly is conformed to that mold. Is that right? It takes the form of the mold. It is conformed to the shape of the mold. Now, what is the world seeking to do in your life and mine? It's trying to shove us as Christians into the mold of what they want and what the world says and what the devil desires in your life. And it's trying to shove you in that form and that mold and mold you to their ways. So if our thoughts and ways are not being transformed by the Word of God, then when a message like this is preached, we say to ourselves, well, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't agree with that. Why is it? Because the world is leading our thinking. We've been listening to the world for too long. We've been listening to maybe false teachers that are saying something else, opposite to perhaps what you're hearing this morning. And because you haven't followed the will of God and been in church when you should have, therefore your thinking is not biblical. It's not God's will. It's been twisted and it's been conformed and it looks like the world, and start wobbling around a little bit as a Christian, like jello. And God says, no, I want you to be solid. Amen. I want you to be strong. I want you to be a Christian that follows my will. Brethren, it's not rocket science. Are we following the will of God? Let me encourage you this morning, if you're not sure about where you will spend eternity, let me encourage you to tell that to someone this morning. Simply tell the person who brought you or someone you've been speaking to and tell them that you'd like to know how you can be sure. Friends, we'd love to help you with that. Please don't leave this place without making sure that your sins are forgiven. You have a home in heaven. God offers us the gift of eternal life. Why? Because He's not willing that you should perish. Then don't make that choice. Secondly, have you been baptized? Are you a member of Coastline Baptist Church? Are you serving in the church? Are you praying with us together? Are you enjoying fellowship? If not, then let's increase those things in our lives. Let's renovate our lives by the will of God. Amen? Renovation is good, but it's hard work. It means some stuff needs to go. None of us want to renovate. In fact, none of us want to renovate in the heat. And here comes the summer season. I think it just turned this week, would you agree? This past week, suddenly, summer came. Who wants to do anything in the summer? Well, we do. Amen? We want to serve God. We want to press on. And we want to line up with the will of God so we can enjoy the blessings of God.